The reading is from Romans chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourself are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. I have written to you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except that Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way round to Iconium, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, it is written, those who were not told about him will see. Those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no place for me to work in those regions, since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey. After I've enjoyed your company for a while, now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessing, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessing. So after I've completed this task, I have made sure that they have received this fruit. I will go to Spain and I will visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, it will come in a full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together we'll be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Shall we pray for Colin? Thank you, Father, for Colin's love for you and his obedience in preaching. Thank you for all the time that he's spent with you in preparation for today. And now as he expounds your word, give us ears to hear what you have to say to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Can I just say before I start, as a church, you are greatly blessed to have a very, very good worship team, as we are at Borough. Never, ever take them for granted. Encourage them. They spend lots of time practicing. You have a team that rotates around as we do. You've got guys on the tech desk who faithfully deliver what needs to happen. And there's lots of other things going on around the church, behind the scenes, that you just take for granted and you turn up and it all comes together, it all happens. Look around you, observe, give thanks and encourage. It seems a bit strange, a bit surreal, really, coming in on the end of your sermon series on Romans, because I really don't know what's gone on before. But Paul, as you know, has moved through Romans. Chapters 1 to 11 are about deep theological teaching. Very deep stuff, good stuff, stuff to get your teeth into. And then he moves on, chapters 12 and 14, about practical advice and how to live out your faith as a Christian. Good, strong, practical advice. But now, in these final chapters, and we're only going to pick up part of that in chapter 15, as has been read, he moves on to the whole thing of what it's all about. Mission. Mission. That's what it's Paul's all about. In any letter you read that Paul writes, even the pastoral letters, you will find mission in there somewhere. For Paul, mission was the lifeblood of the church. It's his DNA. Mission was important then, and it's vitally important now. Mission to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It was driven by the saving grace of Jesus Christ that he experienced on the road to Damascus, very powerfully. But it's also picking up as he establishes churches all over the region on his missionary journeys. And when you see what he went through, shipwrecks, imprisonment and beatings, and he's still going on. Because mission was at the heart of everything he preached. It's an extremely worrying fact that more churches in Lincolnshire are closing than any other county in England. I said earlier, the three Baptist churches in the area are bucking the trend. That is worrying. And what's at the root of that? This could be controversial. The lack of mission in churches. Borough Methodist Church is closed last August. They had 20 people worshipping there. They closed it. Doesn't make any sense to me either. I want to use this part of Romans 15 to hopefully inspire you individually, and therefore as a body of Christ, and therefore as a church, to engage and think seriously about mission. To put it at the forefront of your individual lives and the life of your church here. Paul's passion for ministry, as we read through those verses there, his passion is unrelenting. He uses his own example of mission today, his ongoing mission. He has plans. He has plans to go to Rome. He's going to go through Spain, go on to Rome and preach the gospel there. Well, it happened, but not the way he planned it. But God still had a plan to preach the gospel wherever Paul went, whether it was in chains or free. And this, Paul wants to encourage you to engage in mission wherever God takes you or wherever God puts you. Paul is reminding us about mission, our motivation, the means of which to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's inspiration comes from knowing Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Saviour. Turned his whole life around on that road to Damascus. He went to Damascus, and he, once the scales were released and once he had that mission and commission, he couldn't stop himself preaching. In fact, he was had to be lowered down the wall at Damascus to escape because his life was in danger, and that was constantly what was happening to Paul. He preached fearlessly, shared the mission of Christ. But one of the things that perhaps inspired him was the Great Commission that Jesus Christ shared. Can we just put that slide up on the... Yeah, hopefully you can read that. Yeah. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." These are powerful words from Jesus that should inspire not just Paul, but us to his mission. We are called to go. No, we're not called to go. We're commanded to go by Jesus Christ into the world and be Jesus wherever you go. And he's given you the authority to do it. And perhaps you're thinking, oh, that's a bit too much for me. I'm not sure I can do that. If King Charles III asked you to do something, royalist or not, you would in all probability agree to do it. And if someone questioned it, you would say, I have a royal warrant. I have the king's authority. Here, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is giving you the authority. There's no greater or higher authority than that. And you know it gets better. Because not only does he command you, not only does he give you authority, he says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He goes before you, he goes with you, and he watches your back. How good is that? What is there to fear? You might say, well, I'm not an evangelist. No, probably not. There will be evangelists in this church, God-given evangelists in this church. But he's not calling you necessarily to be evangelist. He's simply calling you to witness for him. We are all called to witness for him in what we say and what we do 24/7. You might say, well, it talks about teaching. I'm not a teacher. That's Jonathan's job, or the elder's job, or the people that preach in the front. That's their job. Or the person that leads the house group, that's their job. But whether the setting is in a sermon, or a house group, or through Alpha, or wherever, yeah, great. But you too, each and every one of you, can teach about Jesus by your attitude. By your attitude, who you are in Christ. Best illustrated by the fruit of the Spirit. Can we just put that slide up? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, God's love. Joy. It's not happiness. Hey, I'm happy. No, it's joy in your heart. Oh, it's joy in your heart because you know Jesus Christ. Peace. The peace passes all understanding. You have that peace. Forbearance. It used to be translated patience. It's not patience. It's more than that. You know, my prayer is, Lord, give me patience, but give it to me now. I hate being in a queue at Morrison's. Lord, give me patience in this queue. It's forbearance. That's how it's translated. That's the better translation. Could be the Holy Spirit calling. We'll find out. It's forbearance, patience in whatever you are going through, whether it's suffering or whether it's whatever it is, it's the forbearance. My wife has forbearance because she's married to me. Kindness. Where can you show a kindness in Jesus' name? Wherever you go. Do you speak kindly to the person that serves you in Morrison's or Tesco's on the checkout? They probably had a rotten, horrible day before they got there. They're not being treated very well by the customers. Can you say something to them? Show a kindness. Help someone. Show a kindness. Be good. Show that goodness where you are. Generosity in time. Faithfulness. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to the church, just showing that faithfulness. Gentleness. Do you know, we're in a world where everyone just shouts. Can we not bring gentleness into that? Just bring the whole thing down and just speak gently? And of course, self-control. This is not a pick and mix. This is not, I'd like a bit of joy today and a bit of gentleness and, sprinkle of love, a bit of self-control. These nine fruit of the Spirit is what you and I need to display as Christians. We lay the fruit out. Imagine you're a fruit store. You're laying this incredible fruit out in front of someone. And if we do that, they will be curious as to what you've got. And you know, this fruit isn't just laid out store. It continues to grow as we allow the Holy Spirit, as we sung earlier, to invade us. We have a choice. We can allow the Holy Spirit to come into us more and more and more and display the fruit that God has given us, the nine fruit. Or we can allow the world to rule our values, our thinking, and our expectations. And never think that will never happen to me, because as soon as we think that way, that's when our guard comes down, and that's when Satan is in. Because Satan will wait patiently and subtly, and then he's in. And all of a sudden, we're not thinking the way Jesus wants us to think. We're thinking of the world's values. We're thinking expectations that the world sees. Be on your guard, but display the fruit of the Spirit to those around you. All of this is further emphasized by Jesus' literally his last words to his disciples, just before he ascended, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You have power through the Holy Spirit to witness for him. Paul, in this part of the letter, can't contain his excitement, his exuberance to share about Jesus, about salvation, about God's love, grace, mercy shown through the cross of Jesus. He cannot keep quiet about it. In verses 15 to 17, Paul describes the details of his ministry and gives the reasons why he can be trusted as a servant of Christ. Not to boast, but to encourage. He mentions words, he mentions actions, he mentions signs, wonders, words of truth proclaimed. He sees it as his duty to proclaim the gospel, the good news, and to fulfill his calling in doing so. But he doesn't take any glory for himself, but gives all the glory to God. Do you feel the same? Do you feel called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ? Do you know, all that God needs from you and me is faithfulness and obedience. It's not rocket science. Just faithful and be obedient to the call. Going back, I think it was January, we had a very, very cold spell. Everything, it was really, really cold. And it was particularly cold in Nottingham. And there was an angler there, a fisherman, and decided he would go fishing, even though it was freezing cold, below zero temperatures. And he would follow the Inuit's way of fishing. And he went and he cut a hole in the ice. And a voice came and said, "There are no fish there." Slightly unnerved. So he went a bit further, cut another hole in the ice, and a voice came again. "There are no fish there." He was slightly unnerved now, to say the least, but he thought, "I'm going to give this one last go." So cut another hole in the ice, and the voice came again. "There are no fish there." And the man looked up and said, "Is that you, God?" And a voice came back and said, "No, it's the manager of the ice rink." When you do hear God's voice, make sure you respond to it. Because you are called by God. You are empowered by God, by the Holy Spirit, authorized to witness to others about Jesus. "As the Father sent me, so I send you," Jesus said. See, mission is not a suggestion. It's a command. And are you going to go against the command of Jesus? Because one day, all of us will be held to account. Mission is not merely an activity of the church. It's the identity of the church. It's the DNA of the church. Whatever you do, it's for Christ. The mission of God. Most people know, would acknowledge, that Christianity exists. But to be honest, they haven't got a clue what it's about. Interesting, isn't it? They know churches exist, they know Christianity exists, but if you ask them what it's about, they'd be pretty pressed to tell you. So we need to be ready to talk about our hopes as believers. Now, this may sound intimidating, but it shouldn't, because, look, we don't always have the answers. When you engage with someone, when they inquire, when they see, "Well, you've got something that I haven't got. What have you got that I haven't got? What is it about you?" And you talk about Jesus. And then they begin to ask questions. And you go, "Oh, my goodness, I've got to run to the hills because I can't answer the question." If they ask a question which you can't answer, say, "Hang on. I don't know the answer of that, but I will come back to you with an answer." They will respect you more for that, for being open and honest, rather than trying to blag your way through it and end up going around all sorts of rabbit holes. When you're interested in someone, they are interested in you. That gives you the platform to share Jesus Christ. And as the Holy Spirit goes before you, He will prepare the ground. He will give you the words. Why do we get ourselves screwed up about what we will say? Why do we practice what we're going to say? Because more often than not, it doesn't work. Because it's not natural. The Holy Spirit will inspire us to share the stories. There's nothing more powerful than sharing your story, your testimony. Think about that. But no necessary practice it chapter and verse. Just be prepared to share what Jesus means to you. Just to finish off, there are three things at the heart of mission. Can I just have the next slide up, please? Right, hopefully you can just, yeah, okay. Three things. Presence. Knowing His presence in our lives, and being His presence wherever you go. That's being Jesus wherever you go. Where are you this time tomorrow? It's half 11. Where are you this time tomorrow? Where are you in the week at 11:30? It could be at work. It could be shopping. It could be doing some leisure activity, swimming, bowling, allotment. Having a cup of tea with a neighbour, social activity. Where is God placing you this week? Because that's your front line. That's where God's placed you. It's not an accident. There's no coincidence. I scream sometimes in my head when someone says, "Oh, that was a coincidence." No! It was a God instance. A God instance. God has placed you there. Wherever you happen to be, that is your front line. This time tomorrow, that's where your mission field is. Wherever God puts you, you are there for a reason. Proclamation. In word or deed. Word or deed. You don't necessarily have to words. Just Just be. Show those fruit of the Spirit. The love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's how you speak into your community, whether it's in here with the toddler group or whatever you do in the week with, when you meet up, or whether you're outside, wherever you are, display that fruit. Communication. Think how you can use the God-given opportunities that He places before you every week, every day. It's just being Jesus wherever you go. It's not just about what you say and what you do. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Those are the three pillars, if you like, of mission. Presence, proclamation, communication. Imagine that is a tree. Imagine those three things in the tree. That's the fruit of that tree. So you see those three. Presence, proclamation, communication. Now look below the soil. See the roots. What's supporting that? Prayer. Bit obvious, isn't it, really? Prayer is and always will be the key. It's the foundation of everything we do in a church, inside or outside. How can you be a more prayerful church? At Borough Baptist, we pray before we do any ministry, and we do a lot, but we pray. When we looked at it 2 or 3 weeks ago, we saw in some areas we weren't. And we wondered why some areas the church were getting to see some growth, but just here, oh, why not? Oh, hang on, we've stopped praying. So we make sure that whoever's leading it prays with one or two others before we start, that we would be Jesus to anyone that comes through our doors. Anyone, whether it's people we know or whether it's a perfect stranger. Prayer is essential. You can never pray enough. If you think you have prayed enough, then jolly well turn around and pray again. And equipping. We sometimes need to feel equipped. Sometimes we do feel inadequate. If you feel that way, then talk to Jonathan, talk to the elders and say, look, could you do something that would help equip us to be Christ? To give us that encouragement, that confidence. Maybe do it through your house groups or whatever you want to do. But be equipped. And then finally, unity. If we're to accomplish any God-given task that He gives us, we need that unity of purpose. It's pointless. Jonathan and the elders having a vision for the church, of where it's going to go, and a purpose, if you don't come alongside and own it too. It's pointless. But if you own it, unity of purpose all through the church, wherever we are, inside or out, that is what God wants, a unity of purpose. You're all together in this through Christ Jesus. And so I conclude with a prayer. So we're going to put that up on the screen, hopefully. Yep, there we go. This is my prayer for you. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with all power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So He's filling you with this. And why? So that He is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Wow. Wow. Do we put God in a box? I think we do. He doesn't want to be in a box. He doesn't want to be restrained. Think big, ask big, imagine big. He's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power. This is the bonkers bit. It is in work within us. He gives us the power. He chooses to give us the power to do that. To him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's my prayer for you. Let's just pause and pray before we close. Sovereign Lord, we praise you that you're able to do more than we can ever ask or imagine. Where we can do so little, you can do so much. When we can do nothing, you can do everything. When life seems dark, the future frightening, our problems sometimes seem insurmountable, and resources to meet them seem all too few, we praise you that you are able to work even then through us. When life feels good, the days ahead full of promise, our worries are few, the joys are many, we praise you that you're able to offer even more. When loving is hard, caring involves pain, sharing means sacrifice, and believing entails cost, we praise that you are able to give us the strength to continue. When loving is easy, our relationships bring joy, our friends bring pleasure, and our faith brings rewards, we praise you're able to do even greater things and bring even greater happiness. And even when hopes are dashed, dreams lie broken, visions have faded and plans are thwarted, we praise you're able to bring new purpose even into that situation. When opportunities excite us, prospects beckon, possibilities unfold, challenges present themselves, we praise you that we are able to grasp them through you. And so, Sovereign Lord, in these things and so many, many more, you are able simply not to simply meet our needs, but to transform our lives. And you're able to bless us beyond words. And so receive our praise and teach us that whatever we face, whether good or bad, whether we feel able to meet it or not, you are able to do more than we can ever ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.